This is an explicit podcast meant for those over the age of 18. Any views or opinions expressed are those of our own. We do not offer any professional or medical advice.
Welcome to Kinky Frame of Mind, where we talk about anything and everything. Now let's get kinky. Hey, you kinky fuckers. Welcome back. It's episode 2 of Kinky Frame of Mind podcast. I'm Don Juan, and this is the always gorgeous Miss Sim.
Hey, hey.
Hey, baby.
How are you?
I'm good. Tired.
Yeah, glad this day's over with.
Me too. This shitty weather.
I like to watch the snow, but I'd rather it be, 90 outside in my bikini at the pool.
Bikinis, pool, short shorts, sundresses.
All the above.
A lot better than 10 layers of clothes and a jacket. I can't drive around town and look at people.
Right? You can, but
you're not. Yeah, it's like, what the fuck do you really look like? So, I hope people came back to hear more of our crazy bullshit.
Well, I hope so, too.
So, we're going to start this episode out with, we've got a letter from a, or a message from a letter. I just dated myself.
I was like, wow, you should
I got a letter in the mail from a viewer.
And, my word. Oh, you're such an old fuck.
That's me. I went out to the mail and talked to the mailman and told him what the hell we're doing. He's like, hey, I got a letter for you.
Oh, Lord.
I think I'm going back to Blue's Clues days or something. Mail time.
Oh, Lord.
So we got this message from a viewer that had a question. It says, hey, this is A&M. We are new to the scene and want to know why you think going to events are important and what we should expect and do to prepare.
You know, I really think that having something like that or some guidance or a peer or somebody to help us when we were newbies would have made things a hell of a lot different. Because I know we had so many questions, so many ups and downs and trying to figure out shit that having that, and okay, you know me, I like to do my what if and going to the first party.
I remember walking into our first events and thinking,
what's this really going to be?
You know, you always think it's going to be a full-blown orgy and you're going to walk in and clothes are on the ground. And
everybody's just spread eagle. And
or you take your keys and you throw them in the bucket. And
no, honey, we're not that old.
Maybe whenever I started back then. You go to the key party, you throw in your keys.
Key in, grab, figure out who you're going
grab
home
somebody
with.
Else's and you're going to go home with them.
No, that's why they do hotel takeovers now.
But that's the thing that you always think about.
Right.
We always joke about this stuff, but people really think that.
Right.
You know, they think if you're going to a house party, as soon as you walk in, your clothes are off and everybody's in the front room in a pile.
Right. That or you get your drink on and then you get the key handed over to you like, okay, you don't know who this is. Yeah. And
whose fucking key is it? You know, I'd still like to go to one of those parties.
A key party?
Oh, hell yeah.
That could be really scary.
It could be scary, but it could be really fun, too.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Now, if I could pick the attendees.
I want this girl, this girl, this girl. Yeah.
So it's random, but still, it's like, those are the people I've been wanting to sleep with and haven't got the chance. So the odds are in my favor tonight. So looking at this, we're going to look at this from both sides.
Right.
The lifestyle and the BDSM scene, because it's totally different.
It is.
Because, you know, we went to our first BDSM munch, and we've been in the lifestyle for
years,
and we were still kind of freaked out and didn't know, because we had these preconceived ideas, even with that, you know, everybody's going to be,
again, an orgy the floor. And
we thought all this stuff, you know.
Because we were, you know, it is that thing that it's different, and you have, the idea behind it is still the same. Everybody wants that sex and that different partner, that experience, that. But on the BDSM side,
so let's look at it from the mm-hmm. BDSM kink side first.
Okay,
why would you tell somebody that it's important to go to an event?
I think my biggest reason on why it's important is I want to see how that person that I might want to have a dynamic with, or group of people, or how they interact, how much knowledge do they have, do they know what they're doing when they are flogging or tying rope. I want to know those type of things.
Even not even that, even just like at a public meet and greet.
Yeah.
You get to interact with the person.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
Even before we're trying to vet somebody, mm-hmm. we're just going to interact with them and see, you know? I get this question a lot, especially on like FetLife or Kick, because we run a group. Mm-hmm. And people are like, well, I really don't want to get involved in the community. I really don't want to, you know, this or that, or...
I'm nervous, or...
I'm like, everybody's nervous the first time.
Yeah.
If you're not nervous, you know...
You're definitely confident.
Yeah. I'm confident, but there's still times I get nervous at events.
Yeah.
I just don't show it.
Yeah.
So, I always tell people, you go to events to meet people, mm-hmm. to figure out what you're into.
Right.
And for people to get to know you.
Right.
Especially when I'm talking to guys. And they're like, why can't I meet a sub? Why can't I meet this? Because people don't know who you are.
Right.
I can't recommend for you to play with somebody if I don't know you.
Right. And they don't, and they haven't seen you and how you are with other people, or they haven't got to know you. Because I think that's the biggest thing for me. I'm like, I'm not just going to meet someone on FetLife and be like, yeah, let's go. He's supposed to be this, and I'm just going to trust that.
But we get that happens a lot.
It does.
In the Fet community. These guys that want to be...
a rigger.
For a better term, a predator to these young women that say, oh, I don't go to events, but I can do this and this. Why don't you come over to my house? So anytime I talk to a bottom, whether male,
that's
female...
That's why we teach the bottom class.
Whatever, is... don't meet somebody away from an event
right.
like that. Make them come to an event. Because if they're not willing to put in the time to come to an event to meet you, it's saying something about their character.
Right.
About them. I understand people's schedules are busy. But even in our small community, you mm-hmm. look and there's 10, 12 events a month.
Right.
You can make some kind of event.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And they're not so outrageously priced that you can't, you know.
Our group tries to keep stuff cheap.
Yeah.
Or economical.
Economical,
you know,
yeah.
And we have a lot of public meets. You know, we have bar meets, oh, yeah. karaoke, hookah.
Bowling. I mean.
That's why we do that.
Strip club.
Is so people can get to know people outside of. It's more awkward to meet somebody at one of our play parties. Mm-hmm. And try to figure out, hey, do I really want this person? Do I like this person? So whenever I'm talking to bottoms, I'm always like, and I've got girls that'll message me and say, okay, this guy's coming. We've been talking on FetLife.
Mm-hmm. I want you to help me.
Yeah.
But, you know, and not even for just girls, but in society today, girls definitely need to be careful. And, you know, I've preached this before, a lot of things on... our bodies are not physically designed like men's, and a man can overtake a woman pretty much any time. Even if we are strong or whatever the case may be, we're just physically not built the same. And so having those, for example, you are a mentor to a lot of people, or hey, you are kind of that protector of people, subs, you know, whatever the case may be. It's good to find those people in the community so that way you can have that one person you can go to, or, you know, or for example, T, she's all alone and she relies on the people that she's built a dynamic with to help vet, help hear, ask around, are you, you know, is this a legit person? And, you know, and that's why I think especially knowledge is one thing,
And vetting is something that we don't really, as a community, teach enough. I don't think we expect people to just join and know things like negotiation, vetting. Mm-hmm. Why do we vet somebody? So, 'cause we want to know how skilled they are.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's that.
Do they know? Can they back up their talk?
Right. For example, like the other day, talking with someone. Knowing where to flog people and where not to flog people. You know, you never want to hit someone in their kidneys. Even if they like being hit all over, it's not a good thing. You want to keep your play toy, so you don't want to hurt your play toy, you know. And there's a difference between hurting and damaging somebody, and you don't want that.
Yeah. So what should somebody expect? That's a tough one.
Yeah.
It depends on the event.
Well, it depends on you personally. I think a lot of times you don't have to have anything happen that you don't want to have happen.
But a munch is going to be a lot different than a dungeon party.
Right. And what a munch is typically is a meet and greet, basically for the kinky style. Typically some food is involved.
Normally it's over food. Munch is a meeting
over food.
Over food. Mm-hmm. That's the typical kink term for a meet and greet. It is a munch. So at a munch, what should I expect? Just to meet people.
Hang out.
Talk. Socialize. I mean,
learn who people are.
Yeah. A dungeon party? That's a big different thing. What should I expect?
I would say the first time you ever go to one, don't expect to play.
Yeah.
Simply because a lot of negotiation has to go in before you can do a scene.
I tell people first night whenever they come to our place, if you're not playing with your significant other or the person you came with, don't play.
Or if you came alone, just watch.
Just watch, because you got to figure out what you want.
Mm-hmm. What you like.
Who has the style that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Just because Jim does rope.
Or Betty, or...
Doesn't mean that he's going to be what you want.
Right.
Or just because so-and-so does...
Because you've got Bob this way and Jim over here and Lou over here.
Yeah, everybody's got their own style. Everybody's got their own...
They could all swing different. And by the way, those names are just fake.
And we've got... Or you got stuff that you didn't even know you'd be interested in.
Right.
You know, we've been to stuff like that because...
Who would have known I would have ever been into rope?
Or, you know, the first night we saw fire play, I was like, fuck yeah, I got to learn that shit.
You were a kid in a candy store.
Yeah, because everybody always talk about fire play before. I'm like, I'm not really into fire play. And the first night we see it, I'm like... Holy fuck yeah,
I gotta do this shit.
And then the first night we saw fire flogging at a different event, I'm like, that's on my list of shit to learn once it gets warm enough that I can get back outside again.
Right.
I can't really fire flog inside my house.
No. We're just going to call it good? That's a hard no.
But you never really know what you're into.
Right.
You might think, I'm into impact, but after you watch somebody...
Who is hardcore sadist impact person, and then you've got you who can adjust to most people. And if someone can adjust and all they can do is hardcore impact, you may not want that. You may want someone who can adjust to what you're feeling that night.
And most of the time, whenever you go to a dungeon party, make sure you know where, like, the safe room is, or whatever they want to call it, the social room. So if you're watching a scene in it...
Too much for you,
because you got a place to go. Because not every scene's for everybody.
Right.
You know, I've done scenes where I know people were...
Right.
You know...
We've seen some wild scenes, and...
I've done some wild scenes. I've caned a girl 20 times with no warm-up, you know, and I know people left...
Right.
During it, because it was a very intense
scene. We've seen that scene where that girl...
It was very fun to... Because she was very vocal and made it entertaining, but it was still an intense scene.
She was fun to watch, though.
She was very fun. Seen... It was fuck this, fuck that.
Right.
But there were people that were... Because it was so violent of a scene. Whenever we had house parties here, you know, I did a...
Or the one scene we saw where the girl was... She wanted to get beat up.
Yeah. You know, that's the only scene I've ever walked out of that I couldn't watch.
See, and that's the scene I had to stay for because I went, okay, let's watch for safety.
Yeah.
Because I'll call it if I have to.
I just couldn't watch guys punch her.
It was
just...
I don't
walk out of very, very many scenes. No. There's a lot of shit that I can watch. Or I don't watch a lot of scenes because...
And that's not a common thing to see all the time anyway.
I normally watch scenes for safety, like right. Especially at our place.
Right.
When I'm walking around watching scenes, it's not to be... I'm not a voyeur.
Well, I am. You are. I still, since we now run a show, a scene... We tend to watch more for safety, and is there a line that needs to be drawn, or is it time to be cut off? And that is one thing you will notice, too. When you go to dungeons, a lot of them will have a dungeon monitor, and that monitor is to watch for safety, to know okay, this is out of control, or this person is not being safe in what they're doing. And yes, a lot of times people who are getting ready to do scenes will go talk to the dungeon managers or monitors and will say, okay, this is how this scene is going to go. As a matter of fact, I had that happen this week. And it was, I had to watch. And
it was still a scene that we had to educate afterwards.
We educated afterwards, but I was also the person that he came to and said, okay, this is going to be a tough scene for me. Can I rely on you to make sure that you bring me down?
Yeah.
And, of course, we walked into another room, and we did some breathing techniques to bring him down, to get him out of his space, because it is a tough scene. And those are the things, I mean, you're going to walk in being a newbie, and you're going to see some of this. And sometimes you don't see nothing, or it's just minimal stuff. And then sometimes you're going to walk into these scenes that you're going, this is not for me. But it's not going to happen all the time.
Yeah. You're not going to get the same dynamic.
No, every time. Yeah. No. And then you see me, there's times where I'm in there, and I'm doing my specialties, and it's nothing to watch, yeah. You know? And that's okay, but everybody's going to have something else different to do. I learned a couple things this week when somebody said they were watching me. They're like, even though she's just doing this mile scene, and what I was doing, I was being a service top, and I was providing massages. And I got told this week that even though she's doing that, I don't think I would want to cross her. She looks like she would just tell me to sit down, shut the fuck up, and do as you're told. And I was like, I wasn't doing anything. But, you know, you're going to see those things. You're going to see those people. And to be the only thing that I can say big time is to just go in with an open mind, knowing that maybe tonight you're not going to play. You're not going to negotiate any scenes. You're not going to do anything but be a voyeur that night. Learn who people are. Talk to people. Get to know them. See how their dynamic is. Who they're hooked up with, so that you can say, oh, I'm going to go talk to that bottom. I'm going to go talk to that top, and kind of get to know your realm and see what you like and what you don't like.
And if you find somebody that you like or has a skill that you're interested in, know when to go talk to them.
Right.
Don't talk to them during their scene. Don't talk to them right after their scene.
Give them a little bit.
Or go to the dungeon monitor. Go to the host and say, hey, I want to talk to this person.
Can you tell me when?
Can you introduce me?
Right.
I do that a lot as a host or an admin. I'm like, hey, this person's interested in this. You might go talk to that person.
Or take them over and introduce them.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, this is so-and-so. They're interested in fire cupping. Hey, can you kind of discuss it with them?
Right. And two, especially right after a scene, 9 times out of 10, you will have what they call aftercare. And so they may have to go take care of their bottom. And so you know not to bother them then. But then when you see them in the social room,
or
then
like,
it's a good time.
Even with me, a lot of my bottoms don't need aftercare. But whenever I'm doing rope, whenever I'm tying my rope back up, bundling back up, putting myself together, that's my downtime.
Right. That's your time to regroup.
That's my time to refocus, re-come down. I'm like, and people are always like, oh, I'll help you with your rope, or I have bottoms offer to help with my rope. I'm like, no, that's my time.
Right. And a lot of times
that gives me a chance to just calm down from the scene, especially if it's an intense rope scene. Or if I'm putting up my floggers, if I'm putting up my canes, that's my chance to
Unwind
and let go of the scene.
And a lot of times when you first get to a dungeon, you have people that they introduce you to. Here is the main person. Here are these. You can talk to those people generally anytime, unless they happen to be doing a scene. But 9 times, you can walk up to them and go, who all does this? And then you start building that dynamic. Okay, well, who does it this way? I prefer things, say you want the more sensual side of flogging. Then you say, okay, well, I know these people can adjust to what you like, those type of things.
So what should you do to prepare?
Negotiate. When you come up with a dynamic, you negotiate.
But even before dynamic, we're just talking about going to events.
To the events, okay.
You know, what to prepare. Go in.
Open-minded. Mm-hmm.
If you're a couple, communicate before.
Mm-hmm.
Say, hey, you know, we're interested in this or this. Just don't go in just, I don't know, preparing for...
Preparing is a difficult thing.
And it's easier, I think, preparing for going to a kink party than it would be a lifestyle party for me.
Because you know that those things typically have to be negotiated before you do anything.
Even that, because there's I don't have to groom as much for that. I'm not worried about...
Oh, the laziness in you comes out.
I'm not worried about if I'm prepared like that, because normally at a kink event, I'm not having sex. I'm not.
Right, because so, you're busy doing other things since we run the scene. Yeah.
So if I haven't shaved my genitals and...
Or, you know, did your manscaping.
Yeah, if I haven't manscaped or...
So preparing-wise, I think... If you've made negotiations with people, then yes, you do what you need to do for that scene.
But first time...
But first timers...
You're going not probably expecting to play, or if you're going to play, it's going to be with, like I said, with your partner.
Right.
Or your whatever it is.
So my suggestion for preparing is, before you go in, whoever you're with, talk about, okay, if there's a scene that is too much for either one of you, squeeze a hand. Let them know that, okay, we need to go. Because a lot of times it's
quieter.
That's
something else, too, to talk about. Are you both going to leave the scene?
Right.
Or are you going to let your significant other go back to the social room by themselves? That's something that I've seen people get a little quirky with, you know?
Right.
The guy or the girl don't want to see that scene, so they get up and walk out and leave their significant other without, you know?
Mm-hmm. So
a perfect example, I've got a friend that... One of my mentors was talking a while back about first scene he ever went to, you know, that they were in these chairs. He gets up and goes to the social room and just leaves his wife to watch the whole scene. And she's like, I wanted to get up and go too. And he's like, I didn't even think about asking her. You know, it was a scene that it was their first events. He had no clue what in the hell was going on. He just didn't like the scene. He got up and left. Something he should have talked to his wife about. Okay, if one of us leaves...
Mm-hmm.
But they had people sitting between them. They weren't together. He's just like, I ain't gonna watch this, and got up and left.
Right. And she didn't feel she could?
She's like, she was kind of trapped in the corner. She didn't want to climb over people. And so
at that point, you can know that you can do that, though.
Have an out strategy.
Right.
If you want to leave a scene.
So the biggest thing I'm going to say is, in both BDSM and the lifestyle side of it, is communication. Communication is your biggest key to make any of this work. But for the most part, if you both walk in and you know that, okay, if we're both going to leave, find your way and squeeze a hand and say, okay, this scene's too much for me. Instead of, because there are some dungeons where if you're in the scening area, there's no talking.
Yeah.
Then there's some that are a little more open to it. I prefer to be a little more open myself, because then if I have a question, I can lean over to you and be like, what the hell is going on? And we can whisper about it, you know, but then at least I'll have an idea and you're like, okay, it has to do with this. And I'm like, okay, well, you can tell me about that later. Now I know what I can look forward to saying, hey.
Or if you are going to separate, say, hey, okay, we'll meet back here in
a little bit. If you see me get up and leave, maybe come check on me.
Yeah.
Because you can come and go. So, you know, check on the person, you know, make sure that they're not freaked out and ready to go and like they're waiting in the car for you.
So overall, the community in kink is so very important. Find people that have skills that you like. Learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
Find a mentor.
Definitely.
Find somebody that's willing to teach you, because it's so much easier to learn that way than trying to figure out stuff on your own.
Right.
I mean, I've been so blessed to have a circle around me since we got involved
in
kink. That's just brought me. They hold me accountable. They teach me. They tell
they
me
help you to grow.
They tell me whenever I fuck up. I mean,
you aren't doing this right.
And I fuck up more than.
Well, I wouldn't say you fuck up.
No.
You just there's coaching opportunities.
Yeah, there's coaching opportunities. We're all gonna make mistakes, and I've just been blessed with a group of people, an mm-hmm. accountability circle around me to help me.
Right.
And it's just the people that I can rely on. If I have a problem or if I need something, they're always there.
Right.
So let's move over to the other side.
The lifestyle side.
The lifestyle side. Why do you think it's important to go to lifestyle events?
Lifestyle is a little scarier sometimes. when you think of parties and meet and, or not necessarily meet and greets, but that whole, I think to me, when I think lifestyle, I think more, oh my God, when we first became into this as a newbie, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be the whole fucking orgy thing. And
we all thought we were, yeah. we've been in this 10 years.
Yeah.
I was talking to a friend a few weeks ago. He's like, I've been to 3 like major lifestyle parties and I ain't seen an orgy yet. I'm like, dude, I've been in the lifestyle 10 years and only seen a handful, you know? So yeah, there's always these preconceived ideas of what.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing for me. I always played the what if moments, like, yeah. Oh my God, what if we do this? What happens if they?
So why should people get involved in events?
Well, first off, I think on meet and greets, and to me, it's one of those, when you first go out to a meet and greet, you can see how, if you're going to click with that person, if they're going to be a drunk, if they're going
meeting people's the biggest thing, the key in lifestyle, because so many people, for whatever term you want to call it, they love to chat in Kick or on whatever site you're on, Cast, DC, 4P, they'll talk the shit up, but then you're like, hey, you want to go to dinner, and then they ghost you.
They're
more of a internet social, mm-hmm. social perv.
Or you get the ones who were like the one that I met, and
oh yeah, chatted your ass off, and then we meet him at a bar and
says two words.
He doesn't say two words.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, there's no connection there. I mean, there's connection where we're texting, but yeah, so but you have to.
He's not going to text you while he's fucking you.
Well, no.
Hey.
No, but I mean,
does this feel good?
There's no connection, you know, or it was just nothing. It was like, okay, this is a bump on a log.
Meeting people, you know, we've met people at lifestyle events that we've never played with that are our lifelong friends.
Right.
Our best friends, period, are people we met at our second event, third event, and they're our best friends.
Right, they've been around.
We never played with them. They've been through our ups and downs in life. Mm-hmm. They came to our kid's wedding, you know.
Right.
It's not just about fucking. It's about we made connections with people.
Right.
And you're not going to make those connections
Texting. You think you will.
You can. I mean, there's people I'm...
Yes, you can. Still. But it's not the same, because you can have a connection with someone through text, but then you meet them in real life, which we've done, where you meet them in real life, and they're fine until they get their first drink.
Oh, yeah.
And then they become the fallen over, drunk, loud, cranky person. And you're like, whoa, this is a turnoff. And so you definitely want to meet the people. Yeah. You want to see if there's someone that you can, if you get in there and you're like, ooh, he's a little too aggressive for me.
Or my biggest thing about, like, websites or...
Are you real?
Or not even that. I was on C4P today looking at a profile. Mm-hmm. Click on it. Their last pick was in 2010. Right. This is 2020, people. You haven't put a
new picture up in 10 years.
10 years, but you're still active and you're still
trying to pick up with people.
You know, they viewed us first. Right. And I went to look at me like, I'm like, it's not real hard. You know, everybody's got a cell phone these days. Take a selfie.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to put 20 pictures out there.
It doesn't have to be something amazing, you know. Yeah,
just throw a few pics out there. Because, you know, in 10 years, you're going to change.
I got sexier in 10 years.
I'm not saying that, but you're going to change. You're not going to look like the same person you did. I mean, I don't look like the same person I did 10 years ago.
None of us do. I mean,
right. So update your picture. I mean, and put a legit picture out there. I mean, it's not going to hurt.
And it doesn't have to be, you know, we put out a lot of
photography pictures
because we're photographers.
Right.
But it doesn't have to be that. Just put out fun pictures, you know. Yeah. Some of our best common pictures are just selfies here and there because we like to have fun. We like to goof off. We take those pictures and we put them out there. We're different, yeah. So going to events, you can meet people.
Yes.
You get to experience stuff.
Build a connection with people.
Build a connection.
Find out who you like, who you don't like.
It's a fun way just to go out and have fun, mm-hmm. too. You know, we've got friends that were in the club scene mm-hmm. for 3-4 years, never played. Right. But they like the openness.
Right.
They just like to get drunk and get naked.
Right. They like to have that.
You know, they never played for years, but they were at the club or Eden all the time, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's find what you want, but you're not going to find that if you don't get out
and do something.
And do something. And there's all kinds of, most communities have different kinds of events. Mm-hmm. Our community is not quite as...
We are a very conservative town and state.
We don't have a lot of events, you know. Mm-mm. We have a couple hotel parties.
But we have surrounding states that are not very far to get to. Yeah. I mean, a lot of times you can get out on C4P and you're like, oh, this place has one and this place has one and this one. And you can kind of go out there and you can view who's going. Like, oh, I'm interested in these six people. But, it'd be a great place for me to meet them. And there's no expectations of having sex the first night.
Kind of figure out what kind of events you want to go to. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go to a
meet and greet?
A bar meet that has 20 people. Figure out what you're more comfortable in. What you're comfortable in your personal life, it's going to be what you're comfortable in your lifestyle life.
Right.
If you don't like big groups, don't go to a club that has 300 people.
Your first time. Because
you're
definitely not going
to experience the same thing.
You're going to feel overwhelmed.
Find a meet and greet that has 20. Mm-hmm. If you like small.
Especially if it's your first couple times and you're not really sure, go to a smaller meet and greet. Yeah. Don't let yourself get overwhelmed. I remember the first time we went to one of when C4P had a great, big, huge event. And the first time I was nervous as hell.
That's the biggest event we've been to.
Through C4P, yeah.
Just in the lifestyle.
Right.
That was a huge event.
Right.
But you go to a lot of those big events and there's so many rules, there's so many restrictions, there's so many things you have. You can't do this, you can't do that.
Right.
Figure out, and even going to a club or whatever, don't feel like you have to do something.
Right.
If everybody else gets naked around you and you don't want to, you don't have to.
Right. Because how often do I do that?
Very rarely.
Right. Yeah. And that's just, I mean, everybody knows that this is me, you know, and they've learned, the people who we have grown from, I'm not one to run around. I'm more of a voyeur than I am an exhibitionist. You, on the other hand, are an exhibitionist. Me? You're a nudist. But, you know, it's one of those things where...
I don't get nude normally.
Sometimes.
I get down to my underwear. Because my underwear got to look good whenever we go out.
Right, they do. They do. So. And they're very minimal anyway.
But they look cute. They are.
You always have girls coming up to you and going, I love those. And I remember the year that you and Dee had a contest whose shorts were going to get shorter. Yep. Loved it. But the big events are fun. They can be a lot. But they can be overwhelming, especially if you are new. They can be very overwhelming because there's so much and there's people know everybody. And if you don't know anybody, it's very hard to make a connection or to be able to talk with a lot of people because there's so many. So
that's the thing too that I get a lot from people. Well, especially around here because everybody knows that we're part of the OKC scene.
Right.
So everybody's like, well, I went to the club or I went to Eden and I didn't really like him. Like, what did you do?
What was the thing that you didn't like?
I'm like, what didn't you like? Well, nobody really talked to me. I'm like, so did you just sit in the corner and not talk to nobody? Well, yeah.
Or did you get up and try to mingle? Like, which can be hard, too.
It's hard to mingle sometimes, but if you're going to sit in the corner and expect people to come talk to you, it's going to be hard, too.
Yeah.
There's got to be that, you know.
You know, and the best way to do that sometimes is, and I have found for me, because sometimes I can be socially stupid. That's the best way to put it. Because I am such a voyeur that even like when you and I, before we even got in this, if we went to a club, I would sit back and watch people. I'm a people watcher.
You're a people watcher.
And so for the best thing for me that I found, I have a small drink and I refill it 5,000 times. So that way I can get up and that's my way of mingling because there's always someone at the refreshment area or there's always someone stopping me in between. And so that's my way to make that connection. Or I'll go to the bathroom 5,000 times because then there's girls in the bathroom that will sit there and chit chat with you because I have no clue who you are and they'll just chit chat. So I make those kinds of things mine because...
Sometimes that's easier than walking up to a group
that's already talking.
That's where I... That's more me. I just walk up to people and say, hey, I'm so-and-so. Hey.
I'm Don Juan. Here's my Juan.
I'm motherfucking Don Juan. Don't you know who the fuck I am? No.
Right. But, you know.
But that's my personality. I'm very.
You're very bold.
Over the top, mm-hmm. bold. Especially in a crowd. I'm going to be the animated, yes. super hypey.
You are the attention.
I'm the attention whore.
Yes. And the center of the crowd. Me, I am not. Which is really weird because sometimes I can be very outspoken. I'm very bold, but then there's times where I'm a little Miss Quiet Thing, you know? So for me in big crowds, I tend to find my little niches that help me to interact with people. And that's a lot of times I'll go get drinks or I'll, you know, walk through to the bathroom and I'll take the long way to the bathroom because then that way I can talk. People will always stop and blah, blah, blah. I love your hair. I love this. And oh, you're so cute. And it gives me a chance to go, okay, I'll talk back, you know, and I'll make a point to be going, oh, I love your dress, you know, and compliments are great. So then it's easy for me to go, oh, girl, those shoes are cute. And I can talk, but then it doesn't make me feel so insecure about going up to this big group and going, hey, and then I stop and I can't breathe because I get socially stupid sometimes.
A lot of times those big groups are normally established friends. They're, mm-hmm. It's harder to break into.
And they appear clicky, even though they're not. They just want people to enjoy everything as well. But they've already made their establishments of this is my inner clique, so to say. But we'll welcome anybody over. It's just, it can be intimidating for newbies. And
so what should somebody expect? I always tell people to go in not expecting nothing.
Yes.
Don't have preconceived ideas.
At any time in the lifestyle.
Yeah. That's the worst thing to do.
Yeah.
Even if we're meeting somebody and I expect...
Well, we've learned not to expect.
Yeah, but even in my head, if I've been talking to a girl and we're meeting at
and
an
she's
event,
like, I'm going to... We're going to make
she's
sure
like,
we...
I'm going to suck your fucking dick tonight. I'm like...
Yeah.
In my head...
No, we're not.
I'm still not expecting that because
right.
there's so many variables that can happen.
Right.
She can have one too many drinks. She can...
She can actually meet you for the first time and be like,
yeah. Or even people that I've met, even people I know, true. You know, I've been to the club before and been talking to people and they're mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And, you know.
Maybe they had a bad day.
She has a bad day. She has.
Something.
Three extra shots and then she's.
Yeah.
Loopy and.
Yeah. And then they know. Just aren't functioning yeah. or. And that's the difference between the BDSM side and the lifestyle is typically there's not drinking on BDSM where there is on lifestyle. So that can make play a whole different story. And in the lifestyle side of it, there are so many variables. There are so many more things that can go on and go different. And maybe the husband's didn't get enough attention from the wife this time. And you know what? She's paying a little too much attention to him, and it's my turn. I want that attention, so not tonight.
Yeah.
You know, whatever the case may be. And it's okay that happens. It's okay for things to change, or you know what?
It's okay to have, to communicate and have, say, hey, if this happens, I've been talking to this girl. If this happens, I'm going to let you know that.
Right.
But don't go in expecting.
Right. And especially because you never know what could change. It could be that, you know what? And it's okay that it changes because it could be that she goes in and goes, you know what? I've had this awful headache today. And even though I would really like to suck your dick, I want to get it all wet and everything. But tonight I'm not feeling it. And it's okay. You know what? Build your dynamic.
If things change, don't be upset.
Right. You know, there's no room to be upset.
You can be disappointed.
Bummed.
But don't be the asshole that gets upset.
And you can be bummed inside, not on the outside.
Don't show it.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
Because you more than likely off. That person is bummed too.
Yeah.
And
normally if you have plans and something happens, it's not just one or the other that's bummed
it's
or
both.
Disappointed. Mm-hmm. It's just
You can't have your me moment at that point.
Yeah, don't have a
you can't have a me moment.
The other thing I always tell people is if you have any kind of personal thing going on,
it's probably better not to meet.
Don't go.
Say, you know what? And some people will take it as, oh, there's another excuse. No, because life happens. And especially if you have kids.
Because I've been on the other end of that. I've been to events and I have had shit going on in my head and made a total ass of myself.
No, not you, never.
I've blown up on friends because of shit going on in my personal life.
Right.
Get a couple drinks in me, somebody says something that I didn't
quite... Because drinks can bring out the worst part of it.
I didn't quite like or didn't agree with and everything that's going on.
Almost lost our friends for that.
Yeah, we've lost... almost lost... It was a year not talking
to ANC.
Yeah, a year not talking to friends because I was an ass because of personal shit going on in my life and I took it out on them.
In our life, babe.
Yeah. It's our life, our whatever.
But yeah, and it can. So you kind of have to know where your line is. If you've had a rough week, you'd be like, you know what? I think this is probably best not for me. Or you know what? If your kids are sick, okay, ultimately, kids come first.
Family first.
So, and the other people, if they don't understand, then obviously they are not the people that you need to be with. And I hate to say that, but it's true. If somebody cannot understand that you having a life event going on, whether it's your kids throwing up or, you know what, your kid is just having a rough day and it's having a cry, me, I need mommy time. Okay, then you be that mommy. You do what you need to do. But if that other person cannot handle that, then you need to reevaluate that, I feel. Because to me, if they're going to get upset with me every time I have a kid issue, then, so sorry, out the door. Because I don't have to be here.
The other piece of advice I always give people, don't have a disagreement with your spouse.
In front of anybody. That was one thing that people always said about us is, you guys don't ever even fight.
Take it to the parking lot. Take it to wherever. Just don't do it in public.
If it's that bad of a fight, don't even go out.
But things can happen. I mean, if something happens at an event.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't come across the event screaming and hollering at.
Yeah. Don't make an ass of yourself.
Talk to your spouse or your partner, whoever you're with.
There's been times we've been bickering on our way over to an event. And what we've done is checked your attitudes at the door. We walk in and no one ever has a flipping clue. I think there's only one time our best friends ever knew. And that was because I said something.
But we've left events early because we had a disagreement or
whatever. But there was one time we were at a pool party, and Jay was there with C, and I must have given him a look, and he's like, you all right? And I was like, damn husbands. He goes, oh, I get that. And that was the only thing. But granted, now Jay and C and us have been best friends for 10 years, so I felt it was okay that I could do that. And I didn't let anybody else know. And it was just a brief little moment look, you know. And it was, I think you were just, to me, you probably had a little more to drink that day. And it was just irritating me.
Never
mind. But it's not taking it out into the public and letting everybody else know. Because then you're going to be that couple. Yeah. And you don't want that. Yeah. And, I mean, yes, shit happens sometimes. I mean.
It's going to happen sometimes, but.
The life happens.
Don't be the couple that goes to the club every weekend
and fights.
And gets in a fight.
And is drunk. And
Every time there's an event in your town, people are afraid that one of you is going to blow up.
Right. Now remember, all of this is just our opinion.
Yeah.
And the way we see it and what we have seen over the course of years, it doesn't mean that it's right or wrong. What we think is right or wrong is just how we feel. And I know we've made our asshole moments before, and we've lived and learned.
I've made plenty of asshole moments. I'm not speaking because I'm perfect. I'm speaking from experience.
Oh, did you all hear that? He said he was not perfect. Just so you hear it.
I might not ever say it.
Again.
Say it again, but I speak from experience. I've been the asshole. I've been the drunk.
But you know what? You're my asshole.
And that's why I really don't get as drunk as I used to. At events, because
we've also learned differently. We've learned how to communicate with people. We've learned it is very easy the first few times because your nerves are going, and the best thing to do to calm your nerves is to drink. But then you get to go out and you're having fun, and you realize, okay, there's been many nights like that. I should back up. There's been many nights where a group of us have all gone out and we're all decided we're going to go back and play. But then we all get to drinking too much, and we're all like, maybe this is not the night to finish this off with playtime. Yep. And or
I just keep the devil away from me.
Yeah, Jay and you are not good together. I mean, you guys are good together because you're fucking hilarious. But you two,
one of us is going to get drunk down drunk if we go out.
Right.
And 9 times out of 10, it's him. But every once in a while, he catches me.
Yeah, every once in a while, like it was probably what? I don't know. We'd been friends for a couple years, and we were at that hotel takeover doing body shots off me.
No.
Yes.
We were drinking shots right off the right out of the bottle, and he
yes,
was tongue in the
but
bottle.
You finished it drinking off with me, yeah. And that's what did you in, is because he was letting it run down the side of me.
Yeah, I was sucking it up.
But that's just it. Then you realize there's sometimes, and I mean, if I get to drinking too much, then it's night-night sin.
So what do you do to prepare for an event?
Well, as a newbie, I tried to do research on if there's people there I was wanting to talk to, and I would try to find a way to make myself reach out and talk. Otherwise, if it was later on, I definitely would do my shaving and make sure all that is. But to prepare, first off, if I find someone that I'm like, ooh, I really want to suck that man's dick, I'm letting you know. I'm communicating with you so you can be like, all right, I see where your head's at. Okay, this is what I can expect from you. Because it's nothing worse than being unexpected, hit by something, and put on the spot, and not knowing what to think about it.
And preparing for an event, figure out what kind of event it is.
Mm-hmm. Is it a theme? Is it not?
Is it a public event?
Is it public?
Is it a bar meet and greet? Because
you have to watch those.
We're going to prepare totally different because we're not going to wear something that's...
I ain't slutting it up.
Yeah.
Quite as much.
As much.
Right. So, I mean, it depends. If you're, especially...
Is there a theme for the event? What do I need to have
like
for the event?
The public bar events. You can't always be overly touchy-feely or overly, you know, you can't whip out boobs or something like that. Because, you know, you've got the whole indecent exposure type of shit going on and you never know.
Liquor license issues.
Right. And you don't want a bar to ever lose their liquor license because you're being a dumbass.
Yeah.
So, but if it's a private event, a hotel takeover, a thing like that.
What kind of event is it to prepare for?
Right.
Do I need a certain type of clothes? Do I need whatever.
Is there going to be only room play? Is it going to be where people are going to be playing right out in the middle of things? Is it what's kind of to be expected?
Or find out the rules for an event. A hotel takeover, is there nudity allowed? Is there not nudity allowed? That's the kind of stuff I tell people to prepare for.
Mm-hmm. Or, if there's going to be nudity, be prepared for that because you might see somebody's junk hanging out.
And personally, my preparations, I make sure I've...
Manscaped.
I've... clean. Mm-hmm. I don't want to smell.
Right. Well, you never do. I mean, you smell good because damn. But, I mean.
I don't want to be out working all day and then just come in and change clothes and then go to a party.
Yeah, no. Especially if it's during the summer. Yeah. No. Don't do that.
I want to make sure I've taken the time to groom
Not
myself.
rush in from, yeah. Okay, look, bro, I'm going to go mow these 3 yards over here and then we're going to go straight to the party and I'm not going to have time to shower.
And it was probably worse whenever we had kids. You know, we'd come from a sport event straight to
definitely
an event. I remember going
we still have kids. They're just
I remember going to house parties and going to the bathroom and trying to, like,
freshen up real quick.
Freshen up.
Before anybody touched you.
Because I'd been to a game all day
or it was the weekend where we had, you know, a baseball tournament and we're like, okay, we're just going to try to pop in. And
I'm covered in red dirt from baseball. I'm trying to do a whore shower with a sink and a washcloth.
Right.
Because I'm trying to make sure I'm presentable. I want to be best me that I can present to somebody.
Right.
So hopefully some of this information's helped you.
Right.
Maybe not.
Send in those questions. The questions are great.
Keep sending in those questions. We'll have our email, our Instagram, our Twitter on the on wherever you're listening to this podcast at. We'll tag it in the body. Send us questions. Send us whatever information. If you don't like us, send us a message. Say, hey, you fucking suck. And I'll be like, hey, okay, thank you.
Yeah, I mean.
So we just want input, you know?
Right. So, and we're not everybody's cup of tea, but we might be somebody's. So, I mean,
I'm everybody's fucking cup of tea.
But anyways.
Because I'm the best tea, because I'm the me tea.
You're the me tea?
I'm the me tea. I'm meaty.
Is that kind of like a, I don't even know, I don't drink tea, so I don't know what kind of teas are out there.
I'm meaty, baby. I got all the meat for you.
Yes, you do. Yeah, definitely we will be sending all that out. We love doing this. We love to.
This is fun.
to help people out. And I know that you may not like us, or we might be kind of loud and voice our opinion way too damn much, but it's who we are.
Like always, until next time.
Keep it kinky.